But that raises the issue, is there any way back? Is it possible for a son who has so shamed, so disgraced his father and family, is it possible even to come back? And of course, we're told in verse 19, he recognized that he was no more worthy. At least he recognized that. The worst thing to do is to start arguing, well, it wasn't my fault. Or to say, well, I was a little hasty. And to try and reason your way out of the problem. No, he came to the honest admission. He said, I am no more worthy.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Goller. We're on the air again today to bring you the message of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we have the great story of the prodigal returning home to his father. And what a reception. And that is the very gist of the message, the reception received by the son. May the Lord minister to your heart today as you stay tuned with us. We'll also have a hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood. Our question and answer today again is on Sunday school. How do we bring children to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Our specific question is, how do we teach our children to worship the Lord? Worship is nothing more than giving to God the honor and devotion of our hearts that is due to the Lord's name. Children can enter into that also. When conducting a children's meeting or Sunday school, it is important to have children learn to pray. It is important to teach them to approach God the Father through the Son, seeking the help of the Holy Spirit. Children can grasp the truth of the divine Trinity in the Godhead as easily as adults, for it is a truth to be received by faith. How precious is the faith of a child? We must show children from the Bible that God is to be honored. We must insist on stillness and quietness while we offer prayer. This can be maintained with brief prayers and patience to wait for that moment of silence. Children learn these values from our attitudes as much as from the lessons. The children's teacher will want to have the Lord's presence and help in the classroom just as much as the preacher in the pulpit. When the Bible is handled, read, and taught, it must be treated with special regard, referring to it as God's holy word. Worship, of course, is the joyful expression of the heart unto the Lord. And this can be done through song. Children's songs should be short, joyful, and truthful. However brief the stanzas, each word should be full of truth. Singing is great joy to children and young people. If you have ever witnessed a group around a campfire singing the songs of the Lord, you will know what is possible in worshiping the Lord by song. Worship is a fairly foreign word to the secular mind these days, and it will come as strange to the child's ears. So, use synonyms. Use the word praise, honor, exalt, glorify, and magnify. One of our ministers very successfully brought a magnifying glass to the pulpit to explain what it means to magnify the name of the Lord. All a child needs to know is that a magnifying glass makes God bigger, and must realize that God is so big when we bow before him that we are so small in his sight. Worship, of course, comes from the truth that God is worthy of our praise. He is so good. He is so powerful and blesses us so abundantly. A child can only grasp these things as she learns of God's great gifts, the world, our food, our health, and his Son. The things that are given to an adult mind need that word of explanation which can open up a whole world to a child's mind. This is not just for Sunday school teachers. This is the life's work of parents who can constantly talk of these truths about God. This is the Lord's exhortation in Deuteronomy 6, where he says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. All of this is to lead children to know the Lord, to love the Lord and honor Him above everything else. God must be first and foremost in our lives, all because He is worthy. And our boys and girls need to know these things. They need to be taught that God is with us, He listens to our conversation, and when we honor Him, that it pleases His great name. And so from the attitude to the Bible, the songs we sing, how we offer prayer, our attitude to the truths of God's holy and precious word, all of these things enable us to worship God aright. And so I trust that this is of some help. But I do exhort you to find a Bible-believing church where there is a Bible-teaching ministry in Sunday school. It'll be the greatest thing that you can do for your child. It will bring them to a knowledge, and we pray, to the knowledge of the Savior that will change their life and their eternal destiny. May the Lord bless you as you seek to teach your children and raise them for the Lord. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we thank you for joining with us on the program today. If I can be of any personal help, if you would like to receive CDs of these messages, magazines, a copy of Matthew's Gospel, perhaps you have friends, family you'd like to share these with, we have a number free of charge, courtesy of Trinitarian Bible Society. And of course, we would love to help you with having you joining us here at our church services, viewing our webcast by computer, And all this information you can get at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or call us at 604-576-1091. The address of our church, for those who wish to visit or meal, is 18790 58th Avenue, Cloverdale, B.C., V3S1M6. We look forward to having you. Trust you'll stay with us for the rest of the program and for the announcements at the close. We'll give you these details again. May the Lord bless you today through His Word from the pulpit ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church. We're coming today to our pulpit ministry and to the wonderful story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, I trust you'll turn in your Bible. Stay tuned with us as we minister the way of God's grace and salvation through this story of the prodigal son.
If I was to reduce the story of the prodigal son to one statement, it would be this. Don't leave home banging the door. He thought he was leaving forever, and he went out on very bad terms. And of course, the story just went from bad to worse. We want to pick up the story today where he decided about coming back home. And he began to ask, is there any way back? And I'm sure a lot of things churned over in his mind as he pondered his father, his brother, and the servants at home, the hot meals that were served daily, the family life that he had once enjoyed, especially as he looked at those pigs. Pigs to a Jew, of course, are an abomination. Ever from the days of Leviticus, the pig was ruled as an unclean animal. And no Jew, at least no self-respecting Jew, would have anything to do with a pig. And here he was in a far country, his money was all gone, famine in the land, and he some way became a servant to a landowner who put him to work feeding pigs. That just reduced him to the bottom rung of the ladder of life. And sometimes that has to happen, people, before they are brought to their senses. People who are in drug addictions and other things, they just have to hit the bottom before they really recognize what fools they have been. But that raises the issue, is there any way back? Is it possible for a son who has so shamed, so disgraced his father and family, is it possible even to come back? And of course, we're told in verse 19, he recognized that he was no more worthy. At least he recognized that. The worst thing to do is to start arguing, well, it wasn't my fault. Or to say, well, I was a little hasty. And to try and reason your way out of the problem. No, he came to the honest admission. He said, I am no more worthy. And in that he was right. And in that he was honest. And in that there was now a way back. Once you come to that position and you are open to confess, I am no more worthy, there is now a way back. Now that confession, and if that be repentance, it must be followed by action. It's not enough just to say I'm not worthy. You have to do something about it. You have to put that repentance into action. And it says here in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. If you tell me today that you have blown it and that you are a sinner, that you are no more worthy, and that you are truly sorry or repentant over your past, and you want to know is there a way back, then take action. Repentance means an about turn. And it means to not just lament and mourn and complain about your hardships, but it is to truly seek a way back and to come. You might also be asking this question of the prodigal, but how will I be received? What will that first moment be like when we just meet eye to eye Father and Son again. How will we handle that? And he wondered. Perhaps you're wondering today. And I want to talk to you about this because this story encourages anyone who senses their failure and their folly and their sin, that when repentance is sought and action, the right action is taken, that there's a warm welcome back to the heart of God. This story really is about the nature of God, the God whom we serve. As I prepared for this, I got on my knees this morning and I said, Lord, I thank you that I serve a God like this Father, a gracious God, a long-suffering God, a God who is compassionate, a God who doesn't just take the first opportunity to knock us down and shut the door in our face. This boy went out slamming the door behind him, but the point we want to notice here is the door never got slammed in his face. That's the God whom we serve. He is gracious. Let's take note here of the reception, the warm welcome he received. You will notice in verse 20 that he was received compassionately. Compassionately. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Compassion. Oh, I took delight in that word as I read this and as I looked up the meaning of it and as I wanted to grasp, well, what does it mean to have compassion? Sympathize would come into it. And then I began to wonder, well, what's the difference between sympathize and empathize? And then I looked at the word here in the original language in the Bible. Well, the word empathize, you can use it when you've walked in that person's shoes. You've been there, and you've done it, and you have truly been in a very similar situation. You've walked in their shoes. And I think this father understood exactly what was going on in the mind and heart of his son. He just didn't have feelings. He understood. Feelings is to be sad about something, but you can't understand it. That's sympathy. Empathy is to have been there and to really understand the processes, the steps, the torture that this boy was going through. And of course, as he was returning home, there was no song in his heart, and he was dressed in rags. He probably had aged unreasonably in the short time that he had gone. And inside, he was asking the question, what will my father and family think of me? Will the door even be opened if I knock? Perhaps I'm in for a further humiliation, but I must take my lumps. And lo and behold, we know what happened. As that boy approached home, the father saw him a great way off. There was a longing in his heart. There was an expectation. And the father did not remain stayed in one spot. He ran. And in fact, I think you could see the son stopping in his footsteps. And the father was doing the running. And while there may be of all kinds of reservation and question marks in the son's mind about returning home, there was no reservation whatsoever in the father running to him. And when he came to his son, what happened at that fearful, awkward moment? He fell on him and kissed him. And the language means he kissed him repeatedly. And as I was on my knees today and thanking my God that he was like this father, and I could enjoy the kisses of my heavenly father, this warmest of receptions, what a God we serve. What a gospel we have. What good news to the worst of sinners. Repent, and there's a welcome. A welcome. Who can criticize this? Well, the elder brother did. And this parable was told because someone said, this man receiveth sinners. Oh, carnal, self-judgmental sinners. Well, see, this boy doesn't deserve to return home. And as you know, the elder brother, that was his attitude. He criticized. Do you know the God whom we worship and serve today is not understood for a moment by the world? People have no idea of the goodness and the grace, the mercy and the loving kindness of our God. In fact, this story is really a revelation to the son of the father that he had lived with all his life. He was a boy at home who didn't know his dad. Because there he was in the far country, wondering, how can I return? Do I need to become a servant? Do I need to sell myself into some kind of service to be allowed to stay in the same house or in the same farm? How can I return? He didn't understand his father's heart. And of course, that's the great issue, isn't it? Sinful men, those who have fallen, broken the law of God, they don't understand the grace, the love that is to those who repent. And I think for us as Christians, as we think of this communion table, which is a love feast spread for us, we have to rejoice and delight in this. That when God says to us to remember, remember Calvary, remember the blood that was shed, remember the giving of my Son for your salvation, we're called to focus again on the nature of the Lord our God. There is no doubt about the Father's love to repentant sinners. This question mark has to be removed once and for all. And if you come today, and I speak to any here today that for some reason you've lost out with God, you've drifted, and perhaps you're not saved, come, because there's a welcome for you. Come and receive the Lord, and He will receive you, and He will draw you and bring you to Himself. So we learn here that he was received compassionately, but he was also received righteously, and that's very important in the whole scheme of the gospel. This is not a matter of a dad saying to his son, oh, it doesn't matter, just forget about it. No, you'll notice that he was received back. In verse 21, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. All of which is true, absolutely true. There is no covering up of sin here. There is no covering up of the spiritual nature of sin, that it wasn't just against his dad that he had sinned, but he had sinned against God and heaven. That's what sin is. It's against God and heaven. It's not just of hurting your parents. It's not just a matter of hurting your best friends. It's not a matter of doing wrong to men. It's against God. It's against heaven. And as he confessed, he's no more worthy to be called a son. But you'll notice verse 22 begins with, but the Father. And here now is that extensive, infinite, and most gracious love of God. You see, this boy, if the father hadn't stopped him, and notice how the conversation was flowing here, the son was pouring out, I'm not worthy, I'm bad, I've done awful things, and he was just going on, and the father stopped him. But the father wasn't interested in a detailed report of all the sins and the crimes and the wickedness of his last life. This is not a confessional box. And let me tell you, the Protestant church is not a confessional box. When you come to me and say, Pastor, I've sinned, I don't want to hear the details of all your sins. I don't want to hear all what you were thinking and what went through your mind and all the deep, dark, sordid, wicked imaginations of your soul. That's what a psychologist might look for, or that's what a Roman Catholic priest might look for in the confessional box. But biblical repentance, biblical confession, all you have to do is say, I've sinned. And if that's the honest conclusion and confession of your soul, I have sinned, then it's but. But the father said to his servants. And his father was now interested in restoring him righteously. He didn't parade him to his home and farm in his rags. He didn't say, well, we've got to put this boy through some period of shame to make him feel the pangs of grief. He's got to go through a torment period before he can be received. No, once he said, I've sinned, the father said, but, and to his servants, bring forth the best robe. The robe, the ring, and the sandals. And they all speak of a righteous reception. Full acceptance, from rags to stately standing. And even before he was brought home, he was dressed. Nobody saw his shame. Nobody else saw the wretched condition that he was in. His father saw it, and all he wanted to do was to cover it up and array him, robe him, give him the ring, the shoes of standing, and then bring him home.
Thank you for joining with us on the program today, and I hope that you will return to the Lord. Perhaps you have been backslidden in heart for a long while. Perhaps you have blown all your testimony. You have brought disgrace to your family, to your own heart, and you wonder where to turn. Well, the gospel, of course, is the good news that God delights in mercy. And that's what the story of the prodigal son is really about. It's about the father's nature rejoicing when his son returned and how the father delighted in receiving him. And you can be assured that you will be received graciously and mercifully when you turn away from your sin and call on the Lord to receive you. Do it today and he will bless you. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher and you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. I hope you've been blessed today through the ministry of God's Word. I'd also be delighted to talk with you. My personal phone number is 604-897-2040. Please call to let me know that you're listening and we can open the Bible and pray together. For all the information about our radio ministry in Canada and our churches in Buffalo, Scarborough, Port Hope and Barrie, please go to ltbs.ca. If you have been blessed today, please kindly consider helping us to cover the cost of airtime. Your gift, large or small, will make the difference. You can donate online at ltbs.ca or by mail. Our mailing address is LTBS 18790, 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. My phone number again is 604-897-2040. And remember to join us again at this time next week on this station as we let the Bible speak.